Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll look at the first verse, and we'll go to chapter 14 as well. And I'm teaching concerning spiritual gifts. There is no doubt that God manifested himself in Jesus' earthly ministry and then in the life of the apostles and the early disciples. That's biblical. There's record for it. In the body of Christ, however, some think that those gifts ceased upon the death of the last of the original apostles. I don't agree with that. I believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that in order for the Great Commission to be fulfilled, he had to give these great gifts at the beginning, and they are as necessary today as they were then. And so, and available. So, 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware." One translation, King James says, ignorant. Another one says, uninformed. Another one says, ill-informed. So, we just want to look in this and get some light on this subject. So, in fact, let's pray about it right now. Shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus and for then promising an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the vitality of the kingdom of God all hinges on you. You gave us your holy word that is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It brings distinction between soul and spirit. It brings clarity to our lives. It brings distinction to our hearts and reveals to us your purpose. And God, I pray that there be great revelation. And the outcome would be that we would get hungry for these things, thirsty for these things, and we'd move in these things in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 14:1, if you flip the page, it says, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And then we'll go back now. We'll flip back to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll read verse 7 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Read it in the New American Standard 2020 translation. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now look at this. God's a giver. And he gives gifts not to elevate an individual, but for the common good. Let's read on. Then it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another the gift of faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. We're going to talk about that. To another, the effecting or working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing or discerning of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Did you know God wills for you to have gifts operating in your life? Did you know God wants to quicken us and sharpen us concerning this, just as God wanted the Apostle Paul to urge the Corinthian church to get a heads up and to understand this litany of abundance, this assortment of unique kind of facets and features of his provision. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues and interpretation of tongues. You know, some of these things are harder to describe and to define. Working of miracles is pretty easy to define, that it's something that's extraordinary that just doesn't happen in the natural world, that God does, like Jericho's walls falling or like the parting of the Red Sea. Those were working of miracles. When Moses threw his staff down in the Pharaoh's court, and became a serpent. They threw theirs down and they became serpents. But then Moses' serpent ate their serpents. Guess like, It's like MMA fighting or something in the Bible. It's interesting that gifts of healings, actually in the Greek, it's plural, gifts of healings. It says it elsewhere in other verses. It's the same word. I don't know why they just translated it gifts of healing, but really it's gifts of healings. And we're going to look at that a little bit, but let's just kind of generally look at these nine gifts of the Spirit. These gifts are manifested for the supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any natural source of means. That's what the gifts of healings are about. Manifestations of the supernatural healing power of God dealing with sickness and disease without any natural source or means. Like all the gifts, the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit, in particular the gifts of healings, is to deliver the sick and to destroy the works of the devil in the human body. Now, 1 John 3:8 says why Jesus came. He came to destroy the work. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, what did the devil do in the Garden of Eden? Slithered in and deceived Adam and Eve. Made them question, did God really say? God's holding back from you. Made him question his character. Wicked man. They took the bait, bit the fruit, and were banished from the garden. And then all this trouble happened throughout humanity. Humanity is not what it originally was. But in Christ, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he rescued us. You know, I got rescued in the ocean, and it really felt good. We got rescued from the Coast Guard in another ocean accident, and it really felt good. They hauled us in the helicopter, dropped us off at the hospital, and there were all these technicians and doctors and nurses there to greet us. It really felt good. Two of us came in a critical condition, I being one, and God covered me. And I got raised up from it. Oh, I'm thankful. And I want to make some statements here about healing. It's God's will to heal. Gentleman over here just showed me where he nicked his the skin between his fingers, you know, and it was a little bit bleeding. But I have it on good authority that God put something in his body that'll cause that to close up and heal. I was sharpening my pocket knife the other day, and I sliced the top of my thumb, which proved how sharp it was. It was that knife that John Moore gave me that he found in the mountains. And I just was sharpening it and sharpening it wrong and went whoosh. Blood gushed out, put a Band-Aid on it, and look, it's not bleeding anymore. And I say that, and, you know, it sounds like, well, yeah, duh, but that's a natural indication of God's will to heal. It's a low level. It's a natural indication. If God didn't will for us to be healthy and well, he wouldn't have given us an immune system. He'd have just let us, hey, go ahead, try this out for a little while. Whoop, look, watch that one fall over and die. That's not God. God wants us well. Psalm 107, verse 20 is probably one of my favorite verses concerning this. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and saved them from their destruction. Jesus being the word made flesh. Hey, we're coming up on Easter, but why not just delve into it now? You know, we don't need to wait for March 31st to be surprised at the resurrection. Let's really celebrate what God has done right now. Right now. And just the idea that God proliferates these gifts throughout the body, the whole reason for it is so that people will be delivered. Jesus is a deliverer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul was in such an oppression and affliction in Asia that they despaired even of life. But people prayed for him, and he said, the God that delivered and delivers will deliver. He's our deliverer, right? How many of you found God to be so merciful to you so faithful, so stabilizing, so encouraging, so accepting. You know, we walk back to him and say, okay, God, I sinned, I had a bad attitude, I said this or I did that, and you go and you deal with it before him. I went to our granddaughter's play at local Christian school, and they quoted scriptures. One of them was 1 John 1:9. A little boy got up and said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I thought, wow. I looked around. I thought, did you guys catch this? These little kids are preaching, man. A little child shall lead them. Gifts of healing. Everybody say gifts of healings. Well, the Old Testament, God manifests himself and help people. And it says in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 in the King James, I am the Lord that heals you. The T.J. Meek translation says, for I, the Lord, make you immune to diseases. Monsignor Ronald Knox, Catholic guy, said, I am the Lord and it is health I bring thee. The basic Bible, I like the basic stuff. For I am the Lord, your life giver. New English Bible says, for I, the Lord, am your healer. The Septuagint says, for I am the Lord, thy God, that heals thee. Exodus 23:25. You're wondering why I'm standing sideways like this. It's because that's the way it is in my notebook. I will take sickness away from you, from the midst of thee. Meek says, I will free you from disease. Ronald Knox says, I will keep sickness far away from your company. What did it say in Psalm 91? 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, and it'll not come near you. God has something to say about these things. Basic English, I will take all disease away from among you. I will take away all sickness out of your midst. I will turn away sickness from you. Then Deuteronomy 7:15, the Lord will take away from you all sickness, King James. The Lord will also free you from all sickness. Knox, the Lord will keep every kind of sickness far from you. Basic Bible, the Lord will take away from you all disease. New English, the Lord will take away all sickness from you. And the Septuagint, the Lord thy God shall remove from thee all sickness. I believe there's healing in the atonement. He pardons our iniquities. He heals our diseases. Psalm 107 or 103, verse 3 through 5. He pardons all of our sins, heals all of our diseases. Got to understand this. Is this part of what Jesus came to bring? You know, or is this a misinterpretation of Scripture? I think not. You could see how prominent healing was in Jesus' earthly ministry. I mean, everywhere he went, healings were very, very present in all the chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's because in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Peter was preaching and he said, you know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil. Boy, that is a mouthful of good theology right there. That tells you that sickness comes from the devil. It's oppression from the devil. That he was doing good by healing. That's not a bad thing to heal. Because you think, from what some people think, oh, you know, I'm learning, I got this, I'm privileged. I've heard people say this. And this kind of thing killed one of my friends. He embraced this idea. Basically, he declined after this. Oh, I'm so blessed that God would love me so much that he'd allow me to have this condition. You know, and this other guy who had been fighting for 10 years, it's the same condition. He just caved in on it and he died. He got bad doctrine. So I want to make sure I'm preaching the word of God to you. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I'm not ashamed of the subject of healing. We need it. You heard of a pandemic recently? The C word? You know, all the kind of stuff that's floating around in society? It's good for us to know and not be ignorant concerning the things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you another thing I believe. Jesus laid aside his deity rights when he left the splendor of heaven. And he was not operating in any healing miracles or any kind of healing until his 30th year when he was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit came on him. And then when he returned from being tempted by the devil for 40 ridiculous days and nights, where the devil attacked him on his authority, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into a loaf of bread. It is written, you know. He just jump off this temple and the angels will pick you up. He quoted Psalm 91. The devil did. He knows the word. But Jesus is the word. Hallelujah. It wasn't a balanced fight. But Jesus had to fight with the same material you and I had to. It is written. Everybody say it is written. So since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and since we realize Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, healing is a good thing, and sickness is oppression from the devil. And we're to resist the devil, right? And I'm saying this for your own good. You know, I'm preaching this through a challenged throat. That doesn't bother me. This happened to me the last 2 weeks. That's fine. I just keep pressing on, right? You know, I'm undaunted. I'm more than a conqueror. Doesn't negate one bit of the word of God. I preached for a friend on my 40th birthday. I had the worst case of bronchitis. My doctor said, well, I don't know. This is terrible. It's the worst case of bronchitis you could possibly have. And I went and preached for him. And I said, man, I feel like, you know, I'm a man of faith and power here preaching for you. And he goes, yeah, I think it's a statement of you showing up and pressing through it. I had to lean against the wall and believe God I wouldn't sneeze while I was preaching. And if I told you who it was I preached for, you would know him. He's a famous preacher. But God covered it. I'm still here. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give abundant life. Right? So let's just look at some of this. I want to land on a verse in the book of Acts, but I want to show you there are many, many examples in the Old Testament of the Lord's healing. Think about Naaman when the prophet told him to dip in the river. You know, just how amazing God is to when they were in the wilderness and they were being bitten by the serpents, but they would look to the cross, the prophetic trending toward what would ultimately happen on Calvary. And because this is a new covenant inaugurated on better promises, I want to tell you, it's God's will to heal. He's the Lord that heals us. And, you know, one of his names is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. And I so appreciate medical doctors. But I want to say this about this gift. I believe in medical science, and one of my favorite aspects of medicine right now is preventative medicine. We have a doctor in our church that's one of the premier preventative medicine doctors, and MD, but really prone more toward getting people healthy. I appreciate that. And my whole family's benefited by that. And I am so thankful for doctors. We have a lot of doctors and nurses and technicians in our church. There's a guy who comes and flies in from out of town, and he's working on pancreatic cancer, and he's getting breakthrough technology on it and ideas for it. I believe in that. When I preached at Jump, I'd get emotional thinking. I'd look at this ocean of children, and I'd think somewhere out there may be somebody that has a cure for cancer. You know, somebody out there might be another Billy Graham or another T.L. Osborne or Reinhard Bonnke. That's the way I looked at it. And that really kept me going through those couple of decades we did that. In the New Testament, you see a lot of examples of Jesus going in one place to another, healing all manner of sickness and disease. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 reads this way. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. Everybody say, preaching, teaching, and healing. I think we're at our best when we just stick with the pattern that Jesus provides. Look at this again, and let this inform your doctrine and your theology. Let this form your viewpoint. Let this etch into your spirit your worldview. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease. Did it say that? And every sickness? And look, this is why, seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them. Aren't you glad we have a Savior who is emotionally available, empathetic, and moved by compassion? Because they were distressed, downcast, broken, sick, lost, empty, depressed, hurting, sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. He comes to reveal the will of the Father. He desires no one to perish, but all to have eternal life. Jesus came on a rescue mission to be available to all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, that includes everybody and excludes nobody. It's the way it is. That's the mercy of God. We serve an infinitely beautiful, holy, awesome, mighty, worthy, wonderful God. And when we were singing holy, we can't even understand what holy is, because we've been, the fall has tainted the perspectives of all. But he's pure and beautiful. How beautiful his face must be. That's what's going to make heaven so great. I know the streets of gold, gates of pearl, sea of glass. I get it. But Jesus will be there. We won't have to have a sphere of light-bearing gas called a sun, because Jesus will be the light there. It's going to be, we'll all see and go, oh. But right now we're looking through a glass darkly. It's like, what? We're trying. And that's why Paul said, concerning spiritual gifts, actually things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant, uninformed. I don't want you to be in the dark. I want you to understand. Hold your hands out. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about the doctrine of the laying on of hands. Did you notice during worship I asked you to lay your hands on your ribs? I really believe in the laying on of hands for blessing. This weekend I'm going to dedicate this little baby girl over here, little Lynn's girl, and I'm going to dedicate her, and I'm going to pray blessing on her through the laying on of hands. I'm going to pray for her, and I'm going to believe for impartation as well. Now, there's laying on of hands in ordination. Moses laid his hands on Joshua, and he received something called a spirit of wisdom. He was 77 years old, and it was something that, if you follow his life and ministry and his life, that was new to him at that season, for that season of his life. God has things for us in all of our seasons. He's a withholder of no good thing. He's the giver of every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift. Come on. Psalm 92 says, as we age, so everybody's on that track, you bear better fruit the older you get. That's the kingdom of God. That's the culture of the kingdom. and understanding gifts of healings and delving into God's will to heal us and health and wholeness will help you when you battle through the variables that come your way. So then you know, wait a minute, this is oppression from the devil. I resist the devil and he has to flee from me. Jesus is the Lord that healed me. He sent his word and healed them. Let's go over to Isaiah 53. Verse 3, it says, he was despised and abandoned by men, a man of great pain and familiar with sickness. And like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. We had no regard for him. However, it was our sicknesses that he himself bore, and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. This is why I love Jesus. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, say that. By his wounds, we are healed. Lay your hands on your ribs again. By his wounds, I am healed. See, healing's for today. Healing's for today. And, you know, the enemy will attack you. And the world will even say it's incurable. But all things are possible with God. Any of you been through a thing or two? I just looked at you and I thought of how glad I am you came through it. I'm noticing, you know, just amazing things on people in here. Carol's husband, Robin, just passed and she just had a car wreck and broke a bunch of stuff and you can't even tell. Maybe because at the prayer meeting she walked 60 miles per hour all the time walking around the church staying on top of it, you know. And I want to say this. We should, as believers, take care of ourselves because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have something to say about it. We need to present our body as a living sacrifice. And then we need to get our minds renewed. And I believe that there's healing embedded in our lives. There's healing embedded in a tree. You know, you could nick a branch off of a tree or damage the bark, and the tree will start generating sap and it'll close the wound, and it, you know, you need to watch a tree heal, you know. And God is all about taking care of business, and he's really good at it. Jesus went about doing good and healing all. Did you just read Mark, what Matthew chapter 9, verse 35? I think we should read it again. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus was going through some of the select villages with some of the elite few. He avoided the villages completely, and he stayed away from the suburbs, concentrated mainly on the upper crust echelons of no. He went through all the cities and villages. He would talk to Nicodemus, the man of prestige and high social rank, and he would talk to the woman, had been married five times and was shacking up with a guy that was carrying a big old container of water through the desert, treated like a dog. And he made her a soul winner that led her whole town to Christ and is one of the most important people in the history of Christianity. Wow. In the New Testament, he gave responsibility to the disciples to go and heal, right? He gave them authority. What does it say in, let's see, where is it? Matthew. I think it's 10:8 maybe, Matthew 10:8. I think it's Matthew 10:8. Let's see what it says. Read it out loud. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. I heard somebody say that because some people believe that the gifts of healings would be on the people in the society that are medical care people. And if that were the case, then they would not ever charge, because it's freely you receive, freely give, right? But they do charge. That was funnier than you reacted. But anyway, look, I appreciate it. I have a cardiologist I go to. I have a general practitioner I go to. I went to Mayo Clinic when I was 49, and I had a 150,000-mile bumper-to-bumper. We'll not get into that, but it was bumper-to-bumper. And, they gave me some tips on what to do. When we had that boat wreck, we were believing God for a miracle. I was in the plane, in the helicopter, praying, looking at my friend whose oxygen mask was filled with blood, and he could hardly breathe. He was close to death. I was at a board meeting, and I'm a board member of the church, and one of the guys said, "I'm so glad you flew with him." I said, "Why?" He said, "It's because you prayed." I did pray. You know, we're on our way to the hospital. I was thankful for the CPR, the EMTs there that were helping, giving first aid. But I knew, and we knew where the help comes from. My wife was there. His wife was there. They fought and prayed for weeks, and God supplied. One of the first places that guy came to preach was here. He said he wouldn't be able to speak for 6 months, or a year, and he was able to talk within a few months. Got the feeding tube pulled out after about 40 days. And the guy, he's all good to go. He went lobster diving last night and caught 19 lobsters with his friends. Going up and down in the water, holding his breath. He has a new trick now. He can lay on his back and drink a bottle of water and not gag, because it changed the area of his throat. And I think about Davy Bauer having double lung transplant when he wasn't even a candidate for a lung transplant in town here. He had to go to Chicago. That was answer to prayer. There were miracles throughout that whole thing. Thank God for those doctors. I heard a minister say, "Thank God for doctors. They keep Christians alive long enough to fulfill their calling." You'll never hear me disparage the medical world. I am grateful for doctors. But I'm telling you, these gifts are separate from the natural healing. Medicine will help you, like, quicken your body to help it heal itself, you know. I appreciate that. Except most of the side effects are balding, bloating, and death. It's like, I don't want any of that, you know. Every one of them. And they're always like riding a skateboard and stuff, and then they say, "This is going to change your life." And then they, in the same tone of voice, because they're required to, lay out all that bloating, balding, and death. There are no bad side effects with Jesus. So he commissioned the early church to go and do that. And then just as Jesus gave authority to his early disciples to heal the sick, healing extends to us currently. This is what I believe as a continuationist. I believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just found out I'm a continuationist. They always come up with terms and phrases. Oh, you're a born-againer. You're an evangelical. You're this, you're that. Well, I'm a believer. I love Jesus. He's changed my life, and trying to live in obedience to the scriptures and, you know, stay in it and follow it and walk with God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It goes into the Great Commission. He said, and he also said to them, Mark 16, 18. That's a great verse, though. Mark chapter 16, verse 18 says in the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every living creature. Then he said, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, they will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Lift up your hand and say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lift up your other hand and say, laying on of hands.
Laying on of
hands. Look at your hands. Look at the palms of your hands. Dare I say, there's healing in your hands? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Dare I say, as a point of contact, we should be using our faith and believing God for people that are going through struggles. Take my neighbor, for example. He tells me he's an atheist and he's a snow skier and he's skiing and he jacks his shoulder, gets his rotator cuff all messed up. And I saw him out by our mailbox. I said, hey, what happened? I was skiing, I ripped my shoulder, and you know, it's really painful. I said, oh man. And so I started to pray for him, and he was like, you know, because when you're not kind of in this, you know, like we'll come to a meeting, and I was like, woo, you know, because we're used to it, because but you take this out there, it's like, what are you doing? You know, I'm praying for you. What? And he came to me, and he said, this thing is totally better. It's totally better. It's for signs and wonders. It says in verse 20 in Mark chapter 15, or 16, I'm sorry, Mark chapter 16, verse 20, it says, they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. Can you imagine what that would be like? And confirm the word with signs following? So that's, let's finish with Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, famous story of the Apostle Paul trying to get to Rome, has a boat wreck, I could relate. And they go to a place called Malta. And we'll read verse 1 through 10. Let's look at this on the New American. And when they had been brought safely through, you know, you could say that about your life. You've been brought safely through thus far. And they had a boat wreck and they were paddling up to shore and there's, you know, flotsam and jetsam and all that stuff and George Jetson. And they're up, getting up to the water, and then out of the water, they crawl up onto the shore. And then we found out that the island was called Malta. They were so off course, they didn't even know where they were. You ever feel that way? And the natives showed us extraordinary kindness, for they kindled a fire and took us all in because of the rain that had started and because of the cold. So they were sweet people. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand, injecting venom into his hand. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, well, undoubtedly this man is a bad dude, probably a murderer, and though he's been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live any longer. Everybody say baldness, bloating, and death. It's one of the side effects of snakes biting you like that. However, Paul shook the creature off into the fire. Come on, that'll preach right there. And suffered no harm. Shook it off. Everybody say, shake it off. Now they were expecting that he was going to swell up, right? See, the Greek here says, balding, bloating, and death. Suddenly, he fell, then fall down dead. And then, but after they had waited a long time and had seen nothing unusual happen to him. Now, you've heard of people watching grass grow or watching paint dry. They're trying to wait for this guy. They're just sitting there going, where's that sundial? How long have we been waiting here? That guy should drop over dead. Can you imagine that? Paul's standing there. They're looking at him. They waited a long time, and now he's not a murderer anymore. Now they changed their minds when they saw that nothing unusual happened. They flipped, and they said, he's a god! That's why we just, you know, people's opinion is not all that, you know. I got a couple more minutes here. Now, in the neighboring parts of that place were lands belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us warmly for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius was lying in bed, afflicted with a reoccurring fever and dysentery. That's before antibiotics. That's before really good health care. This stuff's fatal in this context. This man is in a dangerous spot. And Paul went in to see him, and after he prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. Now, you remember Luke the physician wrote the book of Acts. So he was traveling with Paul. But it wasn't, hey, Luke can maybe minister some medicine to you. No, Paul laid his hands on him and he healed him. And something ignited. After this happened, something ignited. The rest of the people on the island who had diseases, they heard about this, they were coming to him and being cured. This happened in Jesus' ministry. This happened in the early church. This happened in the 1940s through the 50s, called a healing revival. God raised up so many people to emphasize healing. So many people were healed. I witnessed to some Africans in Switzerland at a youth hostel when I was young, before I was married. And they said, I was trying to lead them to the Lord. They were already saved, and I was kind of disappointed. But they said, we were not believers. We talked to somehow T.L. Osborne came up, who we were connected with, and they couldn't believe it, you know. And they said, before he came, we're so lost, he said, then we saw miracles, and now we believe. Now we believe. Signs and wonders. And that's what happened here. They also showed us many honors, and when we were about to set sail, they supplied us with everything we needed. Wow. Now, let's all stand up on our feet. I believe in natural healing, and I believe in supernatural healing. Does that make sense? I believe in the benefits of taking care of ourselves. I think we should be diligent to not trash the temple, right? But I also think we need to desire earnestly spiritual gifts. I want to see more people get saved. I want to see more people get healed. And I want to see more people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I want to believe in God for our Easter to be something where God really shows up on Good Friday, even the egg hunt, and then all the services, and that he stretches forth his hand to heal, and that signs and wonders will be done in the name of his son, Jesus. Let's lift up our hands to the Lord. God, I just ask that there would be a stirring and a kindling afresh of hunger and thirst in each person's heart in this place. For the supernatural. God, that people will see their prayers get answered. God, their visions, their hopes, their dreams would line up and be dialed into your perfect will. God, I'm asking that if there's anybody that's not born again, that they surrender their life to Jesus right now before it's too late. There's a hell to avoid, there's a heaven to gain, and it's imperative that you confess Jesus as your Lord and that you invite him in and embrace him on his terms. And repent of your sins and humble yourself and receive him and believe in him. Trust him. He'll do it. Who in here has found God to be good in your case? How many of you been through some battles and you got your skint knees and a bloody nose and yet you still pressed on? Listen, I'll be honest. I've lost some battles, but we're winning the war. We're more than conquerors, right? You young people understand this. Don't let the enemy seize you with disappointment, and don't let your circumstances dictate your theology. We lost a battle with a young person's health and died The mother turned to me and said, "Don't stop teaching on healing." She needed that because she went through some terrible disease herself and came through it because of the teaching on healing. Say this with me. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. See, it says by his stripes we were healed and by his stripes we are healed. It's past tense, so we could say, yeah, it was in the past, but it's also current, so we could say that we're continuationists. He that's begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing this song on our way out. Hallelujah. Is the praise.